Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to read several verses together, so just stay seated this morning. You just honor God's Word as we move through it. But, you know, there are two ordinances in the Baptist Church. One of those, of course, is baptism, and the other is communion, the Lord's Supper. And you can make a strong case for foot washing as well. But I know that's going to get me in trouble, so we'll leave that one alone today. But the two ordinances that we celebrate and observe point to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about, is making much of our Lord and lifting Him up. And so I want to talk to you about the Lord's Supper. And that'll be a special time in the life of the believers, of the saints, of the church. They ought to be such an awesome event that we really almost ought to have to pass out tickets so that people could get in here. It is a special, special service. As a matter of fact, Jesus Himself told us that He wanted us to observe this wonderful celebration, symbolically sitting down at the Lord's table with Him. Can you imagine that? Sitting down at the Lord's table with Him. We're going to do that one day, face to face. And until then, we're doing that this morning symbolically. But I want to tell you, the Lord is here. He is with us. I sense His power and His presence here. And I know that God's going to speak to us this morning. And so, we want to talk about the significance and the importance of the Lord's Supper this morning. And we're going to move through verses 17 through 30 this morning in Matthew 26. And first of all, let's take a look at the Lord's dinner. Look at verse 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to Him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" Imagine that. Jesus coming to your house. I hope He's already there. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. For 1,500 years, in this passage of Scripture, for 1,500 years, the Jewish people had been celebrating that great exodus from Egypt through the sacrificial death of those lambs. The blood was spilt and the blood was applied to the doorposts in Egypt. And that night when the death angel passed over, all of those firstborn sons in Israel were saved because all of their sins were under the blood. And all the firstborn in Egypt that night died. And it was the next day that the tremendous exodus from Egypt took place. Israel was delivered by the Lord from a land of slavery. And I want to tell you, God has done the same thing for us. He has delivered us from the slavery of sin. If you are one of His children this morning, you are no longer under the penalty of your sin. And you're no longer under the power of sin. You don't have to sin anymore. How about that? And you have everything you need to stand against that. And then one day you're even going to be saved from the presence of sin, never to sin anymore. And so we've been brought out of this land of slavery to sin. I'm so thankful for that. Give God praise today. Now, and so for 1,500 years, these Jews have been celebrating this wonderful deliverance of the Lord through an event called the Passover. And a sacrificial lamb was always slain on the 14th of Nisan. That's a month on the Jewish calendar. And then on the 15th of Nisan, the next day, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread began. And so over time, the slaying of this sacrificial lamb and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the Passover feast all kind of blended together in a week-long celebration. That's what we see happening here in this passage of Scripture. It's Passover week, and every good Jew in Israel is thinking about the Passover. And thousands of Jewish folks would come into Jerusalem for the purpose of celebrating the Passover meal, this great festival that the Jews had of unleavened bread. And normally this was in the spring of the year, these great festival days. And so Jesus is with his disciples, and they come to him and they said, "Lord, where do you want to eat the Passover? Where do we need to go celebrate? I mean, we need to prepare for this thing." I mean, you had to prepare for a Passover meal. You had to, first of all, you had to get a perfect lamb, and then you had to take that lamb to the temple, and then that lamb was slain, and the blood was applied to the altar, and then you roasted that lamb as a whole. The whole lamb was roasted, and then you had to get some wine, and you had to get some bitter herbs, and you had to get some unleavened bread, and you had to have a place to meet. So, don't y'all go out here and tell anybody I said this, but it's kind of akin to our Thanksgiving week. All right? That'll help you to kind of bridge that gap there. But and so preparations needed to be made, and of course Jesus was in charge of that. He already knew where they were going to celebrate the Passover. I personally think it's probably in John Mark's mother's house. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12 tells us that the early church often met in John Mark's mama had a big house, and she had a big upper room. And you remember when the Holy Spirit fell, there was 120 folks in her upper room. So it could have been there in the upper room there where they met. I don't know. I don't think where is as important as what. And so Jesus said, "You go, and it'll be just like I told you." And so they found it just as they told it. And so they began to observe the Passover feast and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And they found a lamb, and they took all of that together. And so that's the background for this passage of Scripture. It's Passover week in Jewish life. And I want to tell you, it's Lord's Supper week here at Second Mile. Some of you are sitting there thinking, "Oh, well." I hope you'll grasp the significance of this before you leave here today. So much for the Lord's dinner. Now let's look at the Lord's disciples. Look, I love the disciples. Look at verse 20. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." Well, the disciples had prepared for the meal, the Passover meal. And they'd gotten a lamb and taken that lamb to the temple court. And the lamb had been slain and the blood had been applied to the altar. And they've roasted that lamb, and they've got the unleavened bread together and the bitter herbs and the wine. They've got everything they need. And so now in those days, I know it's not like this for us, but you would have a table there in the host home, and the head of the family would be at the head of the table, of course. And then they reclined on these what they would call couches, but what we would call pillows. And you would kind of recline there with your head and your elbow on that pillow at the table. And then your feet went out this way. Y'all got me? Y'all are looking like, y'all got me? All right. Sometimes I get that moon calf look from some of you. But I'm trying to describe, I want you to see this in your mind's eye. And I want you to grasp the significance of what's going on. So Jesus is there with the 12, and they're all reclined around this table. And the Lord, normally what would happen first was the head of the family or the host would grab the cup, and he would pray and thank God for the cup and bless the cup and then taste it and then pass it. Okay? And then, after that was done, he would take some of the unleavened... Well, first of all, I'm sorry. He would get up, go wash his hands, and then he'd pass out the dishes around the table. And that's what the Lord's doing here, I believe. And you also know that he washed their feet during this time. And there's unleavened bread on the table, and there's the bitter herbs mixed with the olive oil and that kind of thing. And then he prayed over the bread and broke it and blessed it. And then he began to recount the Passover story and how God had delivered the Israelites from Egypt. And then they began to, Scripture, well, Jewish historians tell us that they would sing Psalm 113 and 114 together. And then they brought out the lamb. And set it. Can you imagine seeing this roasted lamb? Can you smell it? How many of you like lamb? How many of you even had any lamb? All right? And so they set the lamb out on the table, and they're sitting around the table, I mean, feasting and just enjoying fellowship. And it sounds like Thanksgiving to me, doesn't it, to y'all? I mean, dinner, you know, and they're sitting around the table just enjoying one another's company and thinking back about how God had been so good to them and delivered them time and time again, and how the Lord had brought them to this time in their lives. And I don't tell you, the application here is so easy to step into, isn't it? Isn't God good? And then all of a sudden, in the very middle of this tremendous Passover meal and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Jesus makes this stunning announcement. Tonight, today, one of you is going to betray me. You know what, as I was reading this again this week, you know what jumped out at me? Every one of these men knew they had the potential and the propensity to betray the Lord. Because they all asked Him, is it me? Is it I? Am I the one? Lord, am I going to betray You? Every one of them. And you know, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, If any one of you stands, take heed unless you fall. Every single one of us in here this morning had the potential to betray the Lord in some form or some fashion. And yet Jesus sits down at the table with these folks. Now, whoever was sitting to the left of the host was considered a special honored guest. Do y'all know who's sitting at the left? Judas. And then the Lord blessed him with a double honor. If the host just happened to grab a piece of that unleavened bread and dip it in the sauce and give it to you, that's a double honor. And that's what Jesus did for him. You see, right up until the very end, Jesus is telling Judas, I love you. I love you. I love you. And He's given him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to turn from his sin and repent. And then Judas asked Him, he said, Lord, are You talking about me? And the blood money was already in his purse. I want to tell you what, our Lord is amazing. Would you sit down at a table with someone and share fellowship who had betrayed you? He knew what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on, and so did Judas. you're here this morning, I'm living proof. God's grace is greater than all our sin. God's grace is greater than all our sin. And I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who you've done it with. God just simply loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to pay the price for all your sin. So that when you trusted Christ, it became possible for every single sin you've ever committed or ever will commit to be forgiven and washed away. I know we're in a Baptist building today, but could we give God some praise for that? Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Thank you, Jesus. And John's gospel tells us that Judas got up from the table after Jesus said, "Yep, you're the man. You're it." He got up and went out into the night. And for Judas, it's still night. And some of you all are here today. And you don't need to get up and leave the table. You need to sit down with the Lord and say, "Lord, it's me. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. And I surrender my all to you today. Whatever time I've got left, I'm yours, you're mine." Don't you love the Lord?
Amen.
Now let's look at the Lord's desire. Verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Well, Jesus interrupted the Passover feast, the Passover meal again. And He took a piece of unleavened bread and prayed thanks over that bread. He blessed it. Then He broke it. And He said, "Take, eat. This is my body. Given for you." I'm pulling from other gospel accounts. "Do it in remembrance of me." This is a powerful picture and portrayal of the Lord's death. The Lord's death. His body. And as we partake of the bread today, it's symbolic of what the Lord's body went through. I mean, in just a few short hours, His holy hands would be nailed to a cross. In just a few short moments, His feet that walked so many weary miles in service to other people would be hammered to a tree. His body would be broken and bruised and bloody and bow under the weight of sin of the whole world. And yet Jesus gave thanks for the bread. There's no one like our Lord. He knew what was coming. And then He took the cup and He blessed it. And that word "blessed" there means prayed over it. You know, I've often wondered, when Jesus looked down in that into that cup, what did He see? Oh my. He said, "Drink ye all of it. Because this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. And it's going to be not a new covenant in kind, but a new covenant in substance. In other words, there'd be no more need for the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves. Jesus became the once and for all sacrifice for our sin. You don't have to go find some animal and go find some priest today, because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. We are under a new covenant of grace, and that doesn't make me want to go out here and sin and see how much I can get by with. That makes me want to serve God all the more. We're under a new covenant. Oh, and as Jesus, I wonder if when he looked down into that cup, which is symbolic of his shed blood, if he began to sing. What's that song we sing? Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The juice that we're partaking of this morning reminds us that the blood of Jesus cleanses not from some sins, but from all sin. And the moment you repented of your sin, forsook your sin, and surrendered to Christ, I don't care what anybody on Facebook's going to tell you, friend, you're a child of the King. And then you begin a life of obedience to His call and command. And the first marching order is believer's baptism, the second ordinance in the church that we celebrate today. And then he says something very, very strange here in verse 29. He's got all this death out in front of him, suffering, torment, anguish. And he said, I'm going to drink this cup with you again later on in a new kingdom. You know what he's pointing to? He's looking past all the anguish and all the pain and agony of the cross. He's looking beyond all the death to a multitude of men, women, boys, and girls. What the Bible says, no man can number. Blood washed, born again, blood bought saints of God. And Jesus is looking forward to sitting down at a new table with us and drinking and eating in the kingdom of God. I believe that's a reference probably to the millennial reign of Christ. Isn't that amazing that God wants to have fellowship with us? He wants to celebrate a meal with us again. He wants to sit down with us. Oh, and at that table, there's going to be goblets of grace, layers of love, plates of passion, silverware of sincere peace and joy. What a table that's going to be. And then it says that they, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of... Do you see that scene in your mind? Probably singing now Psalm 116, 17, and 118 together. I think Jesus is just lingering for a few more minutes with those that He loved before He went out to head to the cross. What does it mean to you today that Jesus died for all your sin, was buried so that all your sins might be put away, and bless God, was raised on the third day, never to die again? And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And soon and very soon, the Father's going to look at the Son and say, Son, it's time. Go get your bride. The Bible says, so shall we be with Him forever. Uninterrupted communication and fellowship with Jesus. Do you see how significant sitting down to this symbolic table is this morning? I've decided to do something just a tad different today. Instead of giving an invitation, a public invitation, we're going to have a time of reflection. We're going to have a time of introspection and examination. The Bible says We're to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. I want you to ask yourself this morning in this, we're going to play a video, a Chris Tomlin video, and it's called The Table. It's very moving, and it'll help you to really begin to think about what Jesus did for you. And during this time, you get all the sin in your life that's right, that's not right with God. Anything that you do, and just ask God, He'll put His finger on it and confess that sin and turn from it and receive His forgiveness this morning. Maybe it's an ugly, filthy word you spoke this week. Maybe it's a bad attitude you had towards someone. Or maybe it's something that you just kind of left out. You knew you were supposed to do it and you didn't do it. Whatever it is, let's get those issues right before we sit down symbolically at the table with Jesus. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to see this video. And you, this is the time for you to do business with God. And if you're not sure about your salvation, I'll be right here to help you during this time. If you need Christ, if your life's never been changed by the power of Almighty God, that can happen right here today. And then you can sit down at the table with the Lord. Amen. Father, during this time of examination and introspection, and during this time of dedication and looking forward to that time when we'll be in your kingdom together with you, oh, I pray, God, that you might speak to all of our hearts in this room we call Second Mile, but the church are the people. Church is the people. So, God, would you send the sweeping winds of revival through here today and revive your church? Oh, we thank you, Lord. We remember your death. And, Lord, we remember your burial, in which it came possible for all of our sins to be put away. And we know you're alive today. You were raised from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the throne of God this morning. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts today. Thank you for this sweet time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the reasons we touched on this, that Jesus ordained and instituted the Lord's Supper, is to keep us holy and pure. That happens at the table. And peace that Chris Tomlin was singing about is available at the table of the Lord. Amen. Forgiveness is available at the table of the Lord. And so this morning, our men are going to serve you as you come. And for those of you that can't get up out of your seat, they'll eventually come to you and serve you. But let's make this a time where God can have His way in our lives. And I've had people tell me in a communion service they had sin in their life and they weren't ready to get right with God about it. Well, I just won't take the supper. I won't take communion. One of the reasons that God instituted this is that we would get right with Him. Amen. And just thinking, I'm not going to take that, That doesn't get it done. God has ways of getting our attention. And so we're going to ask you, I'm going to pray, and then what you'll do is you'll come and you'll grab some bread and then dip that bread in the cup and eat. Take, eat, and drink. Father, what a privilege to sit down with your Son who paid the price so that we might go free, be set at liberty to serve you. Oh God, bless my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're a blood-bought, blood-washed, born-again believer, whenever you're ready, you can come and sit at the table with the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you Thank you, thank you. I wished I had a better, just a bigger, better vocabulary to tell you how I feel this morning. I deserved hell. And yet you went to my hell for me and paid the price. And then, God, set your spirit in my life. And now I have purpose and meaning. I have peace that passes understanding. I don't have any worries. I'm one of your children. Oh, God, we praise your name today. You are worthy of our praise. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.